from theunts.com. This is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is Vadim Pierre, better known as DJ Vadim. Vadim's list of credits is a long one. He's a DJ, producer, and is the head of his own label, Jazz Fudge. He's worked with a laundry list of legends, including Stevie Wonder, The Roots, Prince, Kraftwerk, and more. In 2001, he was nominated for a Latin Grammy for his work with the Spanish hip-hop group Seven Notas, Seven Colores. Really, he's all over the place, and not just musically. Born in the USSR, he moved to London when he was 5 and eventually made it to the States. I began my interview with DJ Vadim by asking him about his first experiences with music.
You know what? It's quite funny, actually. When I grew up, I was more into sports. I was always into sports. And my first impression of music, my first memory of hearing music and recognizing it was, oh yeah, music is for girls. Girls like music, boys like more serious stuff and sports. And I was super into sports. Tennis and jogging and any kind of racket sports.
Okay.
Table tennis, squash, badminton, all of that kind of stuff.
Were you any good?
Yeah, I was pretty good. I ran for England in cross-country running at 5 miles. And I played for the regional tennis squad when I was like 16, 17.
But so you were nationally ranked?
Yeah, to a certain point. I mean, I never made it like internationally. I mean, in terms of running, jogging, we ran, I was in the London team, and we did races against France and Germany and other like European countries, but I didn't run in like the British Olympic squad. I wasn't in the Olympic squad. It was like junior level, amateur level. But we did, I was in the team that represented the southeast of England, that whole region.
So these shows that go real late, you don't worry about it. You got the stamina to keep going into the wee hours of the morning.
That's right. So my memory of music back then, when I was like 12, up to about the age of 10, 73, 83, yeah, was like, oh yeah, music's more for girls. Then around 83, 84, I started like getting into hip hop when I was about 10 years old, 11 years old. Like hearing Grandmaster Flash and Curtis Blow and seeing films like Wild Style, Style Wars, those kind of things. That was my first love, was hip hop. And from there, from hip hop, I discovered a whole other world of music, everything that got related to hip hop. So from hip hop, I got into like finding the break beats, like the funk and soul, you know, classic soul, Motown and all that kind of stuff. And from hip hop, I got into break beats and like breakbeat culture and like down tempo and chill out and drum and bass and disco, and then from disco into house and electro and like hip.
So you sort of followed that progression down the line. You found those samples and then worked your way backwards.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, for me, hip hop is like the center of the circle, and you have all these other things that are around it that come from hip hop. And for me, none of the modern electronic music, as far as I'm concerned, would have happened without hip hop. They've used the mentality of sampling and looping to that level before hip hop existed. People were making electronic music, but it was very avant-garde, very out there. If you listen to John Cage and people like that, I mean, yeah, it's cool, and they were super ahead of their time, but it's not something you'd go to a club to listen to. Maybe if you're on your shrooms, you might listen to it, but you know what I mean? But people took the ethos of hip-hop and sped it up, slowed it down, twisted it, glitched it, whatever, to create all these other kind of musics that we have now.
You sampled these instruments and melodies from far-flung worlds. I mean, I've heard Chinese string instruments and Slavic melodies and vocal scats from South Asia. What is it that got you into that world music?
It's just sounds. I mean, for me, it's not really world music or this, that, or the other. It's, I only hear sounds, and it doesn't matter where it's from. And in a sense, I am a representation of the places that I've been. I think we're all, you know, to a certain extent, a product of our environment. And my environment is the world. Like, I'm in a different country, well, not every day, but very, very often. I've been to like 65 different countries. And being to these places inspires me, and the sounds. And also, I like to have that kind of feel that it encompasses everyone. I don't want to just do a record. Like, for example, sometimes there's a lot of records in the States that might be super popular in a particular region, you know, coming out of Atlanta or New England or wherever, you know what I mean, Midwest. But outside their region, nobody really checks for those records. And for me, I don't want to be that kind of artist that's just like super huge in this one little area. I want my sound to be accessible in a sense to whether you live here in Indianapolis, whether you're in Buenos Aires, whether you're in Korea, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? So people can feel it. Whereas some, when I talk about the regionalisms, some of the regional music, some of the music that you have coming out of Atlanta or any of these places sometimes doesn't survive, you know, in other regions, you know what I mean? People can't relate to it. And I don't know the exact reasons why. But then you have other groups, you know, like Madonna, or Michael Jackson, who are huge all over the world. For me, that's how I want my sound. I don't want to just be in one place. And having that kind of incorporating all these elements, in a sense, answers my quest.
So by being in these different countries, that sound has maybe infused itself into a couple of tracks here and there, but then because of that, these disparate groups can get into your music, can turn an ear to it because it's got that attracting sound.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think I'm not the only one who does that now. I mean, in terms of hip-hop, yeah, the classic base for sampling was Motown, Blue Note, James Brown, George Clinton, you know, Funkadelic Parliament. That's the basis of the majority of, like, 80s and 90s hip-hop sampling, the classic, you know, whatever the groups were in the 70s, all of those groups. Whereas now, a lot of those records have been sampled. So you have to look to other sources. And for me, one of the most important things when it comes to making music is to make something original, make original compositions. And when I mean original, not just the fact that I wrote the song, but using something, materials and sounds that other people aren't using. Because in the past, I've done songs that didn't exist, but someone else would then go and sample the exact same record I used. Whereas now I'm having to work harder to make it so nobody's got the shit that I'm going to be using.
DJ Vadim, Deuce Eclipse in the house, y'all. What's up?
Like the Wind, featuring Deuce Eclipse from DJ Vadim's album Soundcatcher.
Now, one of those countries you've been to, I think I read this somewhere, you spent a lot of time in Port-au-Prince in Haiti?
Yeah.
Have you been in contact with some of those connections that you had down there since, you know, the devastating earthquake in January?
No, I haven't been there since then. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing being in the Caribbean and every, you know, all so many different places I've been. I can take something from that country. Like in Haiti, you have this kind of quite, it's different to, I mean, there's two kind of basic sounds in the Caribbean. You have the Jamaican kind of reggae, ska, calypso kind of sound that you get also in Bermuda, Barbados, the English speaking ones. Then on the Latin islands, like Cuba, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, you have like salsa, merengue, that kind of sound. But in Port-au-Prince, in Haiti, it's different. It's percussive, it's quite African, it's kind of more raw, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's not so singing-led, it's more, a little bit more trance-like. It's much, much rawer. I guess because they're cut off, because that's the only, well, there's Martinique, there's two other French islands, I think. And Haiti, but Haiti's the biggest. Yeah, it's kind of quite dirty.
You've spoken a little bit about the maybe the styles of the West Indies. You've worked with MCs in America and in Europe, and also in the Caribbean quite a bit. What do you see as the major difference between the purely the MCs and maybe I guess also a little bit of the beats you were talking about, how in the Caribbean it's sort of raw. What do you see coming out of America versus Europe versus maybe the Caribbean? I guess it's sort of a complex question.
It is a complex question, but what I would say is perception is the key. I was listening to a political debate on NPR the other day, and there was some guy talking about how people perceived Obama working with the economy as opposed to Bush. And Sarah Palin was saying how she didn't support the bailout and it's all the Democrats' fault. And the guy was going, the truth of it is, Obama's doing exactly the same as what the Bush administration did before in terms of the bailout for the banks and whatnot. So he's done exactly what they did. And yet, Republicans are looking at him very badly now because they're like, oh, the economy didn't improve. But it's a perception.
Because he's not on their team.
Yeah. But the fact is, the policies they're pursuing, because it's from the federal bank, they're following their policy, right? It's not actually the government policy. So the perception of him in terms of Republicans is really, really bad. But the policy is exactly the same as what they had. But he's not their boy, you know what I mean? And this is the same thing with music in the sense that you can have very stylistically similar things with tiny differences from other places, but because it's not from here, people would, in a sense, look down on it. Like, only recently, in the last couple of years, did I found out about, like, the huge racism against Jamaicans in New York, and, like, in the 70s and the early 80s, how being black Jamaican in America was seen by the black people were racist against black Jamaicans because they weren't Americans. They would come with their funny accents. And now things have changed, you know what I mean? Like reggae is more popular. You have like Sean Paul and all these people, you know, working with Beyonce and whatnot. But when you compare, the very basis of hip hop came from reggae sound systems, what Kool Herc brought over from Jamaica to New York. But the style of MCing with ragga MCs, if you just simply read the lyric, you might not understand all the words because they use a lot of slang, and then compared it to an American rapper.
Popular or more underground, yeah. Independent?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You could do the both, you know, and then do the same for someone from out of the UK. Lyrically, in terms of how it rhymes, you know, in rhyming couplets and stuff like that, there's very, very little difference. You know what I mean? The difference is more because of the accent. Obviously, reggae, they have a very particular accent. And then the music is different. Ragga music is the beat that's slightly different. But in terms of the vocals, they're quite similar. What the main difference is, as far as I can see, is not so much in the style of music or the style of voice. It's the marketing that goes with it. And the fact is, America being the biggest music market in the world at the moment, it's got 300 million people. Most people buy, you know, CDs here in the world. So the groups who are on a major label, have the major backing, like Black Eyed Peas or whoever, people perceive that to be what hip-hop is. That's a hip-hop group, Black Eyed Peas. A pop group is Madonna or Lady Gaga. And then the rock group is Nickelback or whatever. You know what I mean? They have these standard formulas of what is, and everything's got to follow that formula. If you don't fall into that formula of what American, corporate America says is hip-hop, then you're deemed to be, not to make hip-hop, but to make something else. Just the same way as you could ask 100 of your friends, what kind of music do I make? And people might say, oh, it's electronic, it's down-tempo, drum and bass, whatever. Loads of people have told me that I make all kinds of music, which I don't think I make at all. People have said I'm a techno DJ, and I'm like, wow, I never made a techno beat, but you understand, it's perception. And that all goes back to how, like I said, how they rate, you know, the president. You know, it's all about how you perceive. It doesn't really matter what you actually do.
Seven Notas, Seven Coloras with Roxette from their album 77.
before you were signed in Ninja Tune, you went ahead and created your own label. Why did you feel it was necessary to do that?
The reason I started my own record label was, at the time, nobody wanted to release my music. So a friend of mine said, well, fuck it, why don't you do it yourself? And I'm like, all right, okay, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And as simple as that. I'd previously sent demo tapes to Ubiquiti and to 8 Ball Records in New York and to Moax and to Ninja Tune and to labels in Germany and all over the world. I sent like 100 mixtapes, not mixtapes, but, you know, demo tapes. And nobody responded except for Ubiquiti Records. And the owner of that is a guy called Michael McFadden. And he wrote me a letter and said, oh, thank you for sending the demo tape. We listened to it and we feel it's really good, but we don't feel it's good enough basically to release. We should work on the ideas. Don't give up and keep going. And I was like, oh, well, okay. But the demo that I sent him was basically my first release. And after I pressed up my own record and released it, I initially just pressed up 500 copies. This is 1995. Then Ninja Tune rang me up and they're like, oh, we love the record, blah, 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 when you come and see us. Mo Wax rang me up. And I'm like, guys, I sent you the demo tape like 9 months ago. You did shit. I could have saved myself a whole stack of money, you know, a load of old grief, and we could have done the deal then. Why now? And they were like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it now myself. Fuck you guys, basically. And then I did three releases by myself. And then Ninja Tune came again. They were like, look, let's do something, you know. We can take it up a gear. And then that's when I signed. That was like 96.
What is your role when you're the producer, not just the artist?
Well, I mean, I'm both. In terms of who I am, I mean, tonight I'm the DJ, the performer. But I produce tracks, you know, I make the beats, and then I perform them live. But then it depends, you know, what kind of... Because I've worked for so long, I can put on all kinds of shows. I can come with MCs, I can come with singers, I can come with a band, or I can go solo. And every show is a little bit different. Plus, I tailor what I do to the kind of thing that I'm going to be doing. Because I like a lot of different types of music. The only kind of music I don't really like is heavy metal and country and western. Only two that I haven't found liked very much. So apart from that, I can do all kinds of sets. Tonight, you know, I'm on tour with Bass Nectar, so the set that I'm doing with him is a little bit more dubstepy, bass heavy than what I'd normally do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. You know, the next tour that I'll be doing might be totally different, might be more kind of soulful or, you know, what have you.
How did you hook up with Bass Nectar and Major Lazer? How did you hook up with these guys? I don't know if it's if you find yourself to be doing sort of the same things or whether it's just mutual appreciation of each other's work.
Bass Nectar, I met at Gem and Jam in Arizona last year. We got on really well. I didn't really know anything about him so much, just met. And then I got the offer to come and support him. I was like, checked him out on YouTube, and I'm like, wow, looked at the shows. And now we did a whole bunch of shows last year. We did the whole full tour, and now we're doing the whole spring tour together. So it's been great coming together. Major Lazer, I know Diplo because Diplo was signed to Ninja Tune. I met Diplo in London, I don't know, like 7 years ago. But I really do like the Major Lazer record. There's three tracks on there at least two really outstanding tracks that are two of the best tracks for me from last year. I really like the direction they're going in.
You're doing hundreds of things at a time. What is your big project right now? What is your pet project?
The big project is the next album. It's called The Electric. It's a group. It's four people. It's myself, Little Stee on keyboards. He's from Jamaica. Pugsley Adams is an MC. He's from Chicago. And Sabra Jade, she's from the UK. It's kind of a mixture of electronic music, hip-hop, soul. That's the new thing. As soon as I come back off this tour in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be mixing the album, hopefully to release it later on after summer. So that's it. I mean, people can find out about what I'm doing. Facebook, MySpace, Reverb Nation, Twitter. Yeah, I'm all there. All over the net. Worldwide, baby.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the Uns podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Wicked, bro. I've been working my 9 to 5. Working my
9 to 5. Working my 9 to 5. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. For help with this week's program, I'd like to thank Keith Lewinter with Abstract Earth Project, and of course, DJ Vadim. For more info on Vadim and to check out some of his upcoming tour dates, visit theUNS.com. On next week's show, my guest is legendary trance producer Simon Posford. Posford is one of the foremost figures in electronic dance music. If you have any questions or comments about the UNS, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. If you want to be a regional rep for the UNS in your area, contact avi@theUNS.com. Catch you next week.
Daddy Vad on Toronto when it sounds so good. And yes, I got it popping just like